Okay, let me read these for you. Sleep 8 hours a night, lose weight, save money, declutter. Can you manage some of these? How about exercise? How often? Yeah. How about this week? Find a new job. Pay off debts. Be positive. Quit smoking. Enjoy life. Take a trip. And go green. Well, I find it really energizing to make plans. Even as I read that that devotional from Johnny Erickson yesterday to my wife, I got to that point where we've got all these blank spots on our calendars. And as I was saying that, Marilyn was filling up blank spots on her calendar. And she just, it's just a wonderful exercise to put those things in there, including people's birthdays and a couple days ahead of time to remind her to send a card ahead of time or a new email or text blast. Now, speaking of text blasts, I'd like you to do this. Would you please take out your phone? And if it's already turned on, you might take down my number. Would you please, you can write my number down. I'd love for you to send me a text while I'm talking. Just a very simple text. Would you just send me one thing that you plan to do this year? What are you making plans to do this year? Now, my phone is on silent, and so I'm going to leave it on silent, but I'd be delighted to see some of the things. I won't call you out, okay? I'll just kind of, I'll be able to see these things that you're planning to do. And if you want to do two things, do one thing that you plan to do that's just, it may not be anything profound, but to you it's a very special thing. Can I come down a bit? Are we doing both mics? No? All right, thank you. All right, walk the dog, start school. All right. That's keep them coming. Keep them coming. I'd be delighted to see these. Oh, here they come. Be current. If you have a flip phone, make a plan to get a smartphone. Hey, listen, Ron is now using something other than smoke signals. Think positive. All right. I love this. That one would be too much of a giveaway. Listen carefully. I plan to be a better parent. I love it. Okay. These are wonderful. These are really, really, I love it. Just keep them coming. And I'll enjoy seeing these afterwards. Now, I'd like you also, if you'd like to, would you please send me a text? If you've got one person on your mind that you would like to share Christ with, you'd like to talk to that person about Jesus. You just simply would like to talk to that person who doesn't know Jesus yet. Just share. Would you share with me the name? It can be just the first name, the person that you'd like to share Christ with. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. You know, I think of people that in our community of faith that are, I would say, unassuming people, really unassuming people. And yet, because they love the Lord, they love to tell people about Jesus, and they do so with just somebody says, "What's your phone number?" Okay, if you don't have my phone number, 562-900-4446. 562-900-4446. For those of you who had been remaining silent. Thank you, Reuben, for telling me that. Minor detail, but I appreciate it. Hey, you know, one of those unassuming people that I know love to just talk about Jesus was Reneva Young, and she really did. And she loved the Lord. And I remember when I first came here, people, during our prayer meeting time, the person that would lead the prayer meeting, who's now with the Lord, Jerry Stevenson. He would talk about Reneva Young as this amazing saint of God, And she was a strong, quiet little lady who loved the Lord and loved her family. And she was like the spiritual backbone to that family. And I'm really appreciative that her grandson, Greg, is here today with his family. And pray for Greg as he kind of steps up and takes some major responsibility regarding his grandma's service. But let's remember to support each other in prayer, and let's keep thinking in terms of who are the people in your life that you'd like to share Christ with. Now I'm getting these great ones, like, it's freezing in here. Dennis, that one's yours. Dennis's number is, no, I won't. Okay, let me just, I'd like to talk about making some plans for this coming year. And these are right out of the Gospel of Mark. I thought, for me, I knew I was going to be starting in Mark today and getting back into Mark, I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 4. And I'd also like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 4. So Mark chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 4. If you've got some sort of a bookmark, you can kind of save Colossians chapter 4 for just a couple minutes from now. Colossians chapter 4 and Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. And as we read God's word and think about it this morning, let me lead us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. When we pay attention to your word, it shapes the way we think. It informs the things that are out of place in our lives. And when we listen and listen well, our lives are very, very changed because we become more and more confident in you. And in your strength and in your wisdom and your plans for our lives. We pray, Father, that you would lead us now in this time of study. We love you, Lord. And it is all because you loved us and you continue to love us. And so we respond to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I have one more public announcement here. Ryan's baby is now public news. Hey, congratulations. That's one way to announce it. Hey, the molars are now, they're now going full speed ahead. And grandparents, pray for, kind of a side job for Susie and no. Grandma is going to spoil a few kids now. She's taking care of a lot of kids all along the way. So, Colossians chapter 4, this is the first point in this message, and the overall theme is we need to plan to share God's word. We need to make plans this year. And are you making plans to speak about Jesus to people this year? Are you making plans? Do you have a great hope and great confidence that you'll be speaking about Jesus this year to people who don't know him yet? Colossians chapter 4, we'll begin at verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. This is what Paul writes to this church while he's in prison. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This has become kind of a theme for me, and I believe for us as a church over the last 6 months or so. Devote yourselves to prayer. What is going to be absolutely vital if we're going to talk to people about Jesus? Is it that we become slick speakers? is it that we become, as one person said to one of my friends many years ago, he talked about an evangelist that fell, and he said, are you like one of those evangeliquists? Well, is that a guy that speaks with forked tongue when he's talking about Christ? I guess maybe in this guy's case it was. Are we talking about becoming slick speakers? No, that's not ultimately the issue. If we're going to be speaking about Jesus, it has to begin with devoting ourselves to prayer. I love that word, devotion, or to devote yourself. It means to give your strength to something. Give your strength to prayer. When are you the strongest every day? Are you a morning person? Are you a late night person? Do you peak in the middle of the day? Well, essentially what Paul is saying, when you are at your best, when you are at your best, you can predictably be most alert. Give yourself to prayer. And then he says, pray also for me. Pray that God would open doors for me. Where was he? He was in prison, but he wasn't asking for prison doors to be opened. He was asking for open doors into the lives of people. Pray that there would be just these opportunities to speak. It might happen when you're out on your morning walk or when you're out on the golf course with somebody that you've never played with before. It might be when you're standing in line, literally standing in line, like my friend Joan, when she was standing in line in her grocery store, and she had the opportunity to speak to people about Jesus, and she was ready. She knew the opportunities would come, and she had little bits of scripture on cards that she had handwritten and laminated so that she was always ready to talk to people about what Jesus said or what he promised or what he asked of us. Amazing that she was ready. Devote yourselves to prayer, Paul said, and pray for me, for open doors, for the message. And I asked you during this last 6 or 8 months, pray for me. And a few times I dared to ask, how many of you have been praying for me that I would have open doors? In spite of the fact that I'm a pastor, I want you to pray for me that I'll have open doors, and pray for each other that God would open doors and that we would actually see the door as open. And like Paul said in those verses, make the most of every opportunity. And make sure that as you make the most of every opportunity, may your speech be always full, seasoned with grace, seasoned by God's grace. You know what that looks like? It doesn't look like me looking at the people around me like I'm looking down at them and, you know, if you only knew what I knew about Jesus, then you'd be as good as me. You'd be the kind of example that I am. No, it's when your speech is full of grace, seasoned with grace, it's understanding that the relationship you have with Jesus and that I have with Jesus is really his doing. He brought people alongside of me. He made it possible for me to understand who I was dealing with, the kind of person I am. He convinced me that the words that Jesus said, the words that we find in our Bible, are absolutely true. And I wasn't trusting some evangelist. I wasn't trusting some slick speaker. I was trusting Jesus to do what he said. You see, when our speech is seasoned with grace, there's a humility and a kindness and a compassion for the people to whom we're speaking. There's not an arrogance that I know it all.
There's nothing close to arrogance that I know it all. It's the same kind of attitude that the person who was healed of his blindness when he was quizzed by the religious authorities who were trying to get him to convict Jesus. He said, I don't know. I don't know theology. I don't know. I don't even know the person, that healed me of this blindness. But this I know, once I was blind, and now I see. So pray. Pray, pray, pray. You ever think sometimes, who am I to talk to people about Christ? I never went to Bible school. Who am I to talk about Jesus? My life has been kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. And sometimes it feels like it's been way too down. Sometimes I've been so very apathetic. Who am I to talk about Jesus? If you ever feel that way, if you ever feel maybe a twinge of guilt, like, things have just gone so poorly for me. I'm not going to talk to people. Then devote yourself to pray. Devote yourselves to pray and pray and pray that God would open doors into the lives of people. What makes you think that if you pray that kind of prayer, if you dare to pray that kind of prayer, what makes you think that it will actually happen? think about that. That question actually is a little bit of a trap. What makes you think that it's actually going to happen if you dare to pray that God will open doors? Look at the number of people that we have here. We got a lot of representatives of Christ here right now. What happens if everybody, every day, at least once a day, would just pray, Father, would you open some doors? Open a door into the life of some person today. Do you think God will answer that prayer? Of course he will. His word says right here, we've just read it, pray that God would open doors. And pray that we'll see the open doors. And pray that we'll walk through those open doors, like Johnny Erickson Tata said in that little New Year's devotional. God's going to open those doors, but we have to step into them and be willing to talk to people about Jesus. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 21 through 34. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34. Now, Jesus had just finished talking, sharing a long parable and explaining this parable to his disciples. He talked about the sower and the seed and the soil. The sower and the seed and the soil. The sower is the person sharing Christ. It is Jesus. It would be all of the disciples, the sower. The seed is the word of God, the things God said, the things he said, this is the way it is, the things he promised. The soil is that upon which the seed lands. And he talked about the dilemma that was facing the disciples. Why is it that these spiritual giants in Israel are enemies of Jesus? How could it be that the scribes and Pharisees, these spiritual heavy hitters, are enemies of Jesus? And he talks about these four kinds of soil. There's the seed, the word of God falls on hard-packed soil. Easy to identify that with the scribes and Pharisees. But it's also what my life was like before I knew Jesus. It was like the
seed of the Word of God was just bouncing off my young ears. There's the hard-packed soil. There is the soil that's only like an inch thick. And it's rocky. And the seed started to germinate, and something started to come up out of the ground, and then it was scorched. And then there was the seed that fell on that soil that was full of weeds and full of thorns and that which would choke things out. And he compared this, Jesus, when he explained it to his disciples, he said, this is like a people who are more concerned about money and comfort and the cares of life. And the Word of God just ultimately is choked out in their lives. And then there's that seed that falls on good ground. And it springs up. And it produces all sorts of good things. His disciples could understand that he was speaking about what was beginning to happen in their lives. And it was taking root. And he said, basically he's saying, "This is good. You're going to see this over and over and over again. Hang in there." Verse 21. Then, after all that, he said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear." He continued, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in its head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, and because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. With such big branches, the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, these stories that were for hearts of people that were ready to hear, with many parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using parables. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. A few thoughts. Verses 24 and 25. If we're going to be ready to speak about Jesus, we've prayed for open doors, we've prayed for opportunities. He says in verse 24, "Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Consider carefully what you hear. Wow. Is that me? Is that you? What's your plan to consider carefully what you hear? What's your plan for the next week? What's your plan for a week from now?
What's your plan after you hear this message to consider carefully what you've heard? What makes you think you're going to take anything away from this message? What's it take to listen well and really know that you got out of the message what God has for you? And there might be some very simple things. Some of us who come expecting to learn, some people have amazing personal discipline, and they just they listen, and they have maybe almost like a photographic memory, or it's a eidetic memory. They take it all in, and it's like they don't forget anything. Now, if you're over 50, if you had that memory before, it's probably, where did that go? I find myself picking up the wrong tube when I go to brush my teeth, you know. It tends to be a very uncomfortable experience and not very tasty as well. But what's your plan to make sure that you really, really listen well? We provide a way for you to take notes every week. It's just, it's got 4 points that I'm talking about briefly. I've already covered one. What was the first one? Oh, don't look! If you've got that photographic memory, what was the first one? What's that? Pray. That's right. Pray for open doors. What's the second point? Okay, second point, prepare to share God's word. So I want you to think for just a few minutes, what are you doing to prepare to present God's word? Well, it begins with listening carefully. Basically, I'll go into this next week, if I don't listen to God's word, if I'm not current with what God is saying, then I'm kind of, all I've got is my distant memories about who God is. I'd so much rather be current knowing that I just spent some time with him today. And he was speaking to me in his word. So what's your plan to listen to it? Do you have a plan to read God's word this year? Some might try to read through the whole Bible this year. And there's some wonderful, wonderful plans. And if you've got a smartphone, you can just have this in the next 3 minutes, you're ready to go with your plan to read through God's word this year. Some will say, I just want God's word to pop up on my phone, my smartphone, every day. Just boom, as soon as I turn it on, there's the scripture for today. And I can do something like Johnny, I can think kind of like Johnny Erickson. She did some thinking for me. I shared with a group of guys that I met with this past year. I said, you know, you can kind of do your own little devotional. You can kind of call it something like a journal. Read the verse that you want to read. Read the paragraph that's kind of, that's there presented before you. And go to your journal and just write for 2 minutes some of the thoughts that God brings to your mind. If you just say, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in your word. What's your plan to listen to that? And how do you know that you listened? Can you take a pen in hand and just write in your journal or write in a calendar or sit at your computer and write yourself a memo about what you learned today? But listen well so that when you've prayed for open doors, when you've prayed for open doors and that door starts to just creak open just a little bit, you're able to say, you know, I was just spending time with God today. You? I know it sounds probably hard to understand that he would have time for me, but I was spending time with him today, and this is what I picked up from his words in the Bible. Pray for open doors and then consider very carefully what you've heard from God's word. We also like to encourage people to be part of a small group. Here in our church, we call them growth groups. We're signing up on the patio today to be involved in a growth group. They start a week from today, but they'll meet during the week, actually, but it'll be based on next Sunday's message. But it's an opportunity for us to sit with other people and not just play like we've got our act all together, but we interact with each other and say, this is what I picked up from the message, and this is what I feel like God's saying to me and what I need to do with this. And actually have a sounding board among people that we know and trust with that information. The third point is we need to present the good news. These words they're really based on that earlier parable, the first 20 verses of chapter 4. But listen to these words, or let your eyes fall over them. He also said this, verse 26, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. That'd make a good Thanksgiving song. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Simple thought, folks. Remember Jesus said, the farmer goes out and he scatters seed, and it falls on this kind of soil and this kind of soil and this kind of soil and this kind of soil. But he said, but I love these words. All day long, all night long, the soil is and the seed are working together. We have a guy that takes care of our lawn and garden. And I just have, for the last probably 18 years, have so enjoyed the fellowship and the work of my friend Roberto. And I was talking to him about some bare spots that we had, and he said, "Yeah, I'm gonna put some seed down there, and some fertilizer. I'll put some seed and fertilizer down there." And I said, a month later, Roberto, are we going to do something about that bare spot down there? Yeah, I'm going to do that. And a little bit later, yeah, I'm going to do something about that. Yep, I'm going to do something about that. And then one day he said, okay, I put down some fertilizer. And he said, the ground is now the right temperature. I'd never heard that before. He said, literally, the ground is the right, this is the time now to sow the seed. Now, so some of you, this is the only part of the message you might hear. But this is just really cool. All of a sudden, the ground was, he said, it needs to be cool. It needs to be cool. And it was like almost overnight. What's happening there? I mean, it's been barren for months and months. And I just thought it was a lousy sprinkler system and Southern California drought. But all of a sudden, and then with a little bit of encouragement from the rain, overnight, it's like, wow. It's like award-winning grass in my yard. Well, you know, this is pretty cool. Jesus is saying, you sow the seed, and you don't really know what's going on. You don't really know what's going on, but you go to sleep and you get up and the seed and the soil have been doing the work. Jesus' point is, listen, sow the seed. Just sow the seed and let me do the work. Just, you walk with God, you pray. Now listen, I wonder if you believe this. I wonder if I believe this. You pray, devote yourselves to prayer, pray for open doors for yourself and for your pastor and for the friends around you. Pray for open doors. Prepare yourself by spending time in God's word. Be fresh in his word every day. As those doors open up, You just take great delight in sowing some seed with them, and then sit back and watch, God would say. That's what Jesus is saying. Watch what I do. And God will produce fruit. But there won't be any fruit there if we don't believe him. And if we don't, and by believing him, I mean, not just believing him up here, but if we don't prepare in his word, and if we don't just sow the seed and look for opportunities and speak about Jesus, speak about Jesus. What place, I don't know, what place is there this year in your life for Jesus? Just as you're speaking with someone, as you're taking a walk with them. What place? You don't have to hit them cold turkey out of nowhere, but just sow the seed. And God says, I'll do the work. Now, the last point is picture this. So present the good word. Present the good news about Jesus. Verse 26 and 29. Verses 30 to 34. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? And this is just such a cool picture. It's like a mustard seed. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. I know there are some scientists that just, we won't get to this point. It's not the actual smallest. But this would be like one of the smallest that you would find in the garden. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. This is what the kingdom of God is like. You sow the seed. You sow the seed. And I'm responsible for that seed growing up into a massive tree from that little tiny seed. A massive tree in which hundreds and hundreds of birds find their home. Do you get the point? You sow the seed. These guys were starting out small. They were like nobodies with no education, with no credentials to be spiritual authorities. They would start out small with the Roman government and a bunch of legalists, spiritual giants supposedly, in their community around them, who wanted them dead. And he said, the kingdom of God is like that mustard seed and the huge tree that it becomes, in which all sorts of birds translate that, the people and the nations of the world will come to this Jesus to be embraced by him and his love and his promises. Just think, this is God's business. He's been operating like this since he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, you come and you follow me and you believe me and you follow me and I'll make you into a mighty nation. Bigger than the sands of the sea. I will bless the world through you. Mustard seed, huge tree, thousands of birds finding their home in that tree, in all those mustard seed trees, little tiny plants. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Don't think small. Disciples, you 12, don't allow your thinking to be small thinking. Calvary Baptist Church, everyone present here today, don't allow your thinking to be small thinking. Don't. You're going in the wrong direction if it's small thinking. What's it going to take? What kind of plans do we need to make for this coming year? If we're going to be the church God wants us to be, and I'm talking about every single person here, what kind of plans do we all need to be making? I don't care about the gym. I don't care about you decluttering. I don't care about you quit smoking. I don't care about you saving money. And what we all should be really passionate about is plan to share the good news about Jesus. Because if there's a good reason to be taking breath through your nostrils, it is so that you can expel that, so that I can expel it to talk about Jesus. And how will that happen? What's the plan to get there? Devote ourselves to prayer, individually and together. Prepare by getting his word in and rehearsing it and meditating on it, chewing on it, and asking God to make it real personal. And then talk about Jesus. Spread the seed. Wherever those doors open up. And if we pray for open doors, are we going to have them? Amen. We will. Father, I pray that we would all have the kind of confidence that Jesus spoke about to those handful of disciples who so easily could have felt like, man, this is way beyond us. This is going to be impossible. I pray, Father, that we would be just wonderfully alert to the doors that are open as we prepare and as we pray and as we then share the very words of Jesus and let him do his work with that. Father, I pray that this congregation would really be literally a mighty force in the many places where you send us. Father, we love you and we give you ourselves as we step into this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.